and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having a wonderful Wednesday today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely great. I tell you what, we've got the best listeners. I had one of the listeners who sent me a doggone coyote call and a bunch of other calls. I got it, I guess, about a month ago. You only gave it to me today because I asked you what was sitting behind your desk. And so thank you so much. In fact, I'll play it for you. It's I like this. Is my favorite one. Now, this is an adult cat call that's in distress, and it's also got cottontails, territorial beta male, whatever that is, coyote food fight, female adult howl, jackrabbit, a whole bunch of other ones. And so I want to thank you for that. So I'm going to play the cat thing, and sometimes, I'm not going to overdo it, whenever I talk about that certain country that I can't talk about or that certain group of people I can't talk about, because every time you talk about that particular group of people, you know, people get unbelievably upset with you, and people start doing all kinds of crazy things, and they just go absolutely berserk. And so when that happens, I'm going to do this. So I guess I'll kind of censor myself and use the cat call, because what happens as soon as you talk about certain groups of people, and I'm not talking about Christians, you say everything you want about Christians, but we say certain groups of people and you tie them down, everybody gets mad, goes berserk. Now I got an opening story here for you, and so by the way, thank you for the cat call and for this little thing. It's really cool. NSA, FBI, and DOJ, explosive findings, Paul Craig Roberts. Now, listen to what he says. Very short article. We have treason committed at the highest levels of the FBI and the Department of Justice and the Democratic National Committee. The NSA is a blackmail agency. The main function of the National Security Administration is to collect the dirt on members of the House and Senate, the staffs, principal contributors, and federal judges. The dirt is used to enforce silence about the crimes of the security agencies. The blackmail mechanism was put into gear the minute the news reported that the House Intelligence Committee had assembled proof that the FBI, DOJ, and DNC created Russiagate as a conspiracy to unseat President Trump. Members of the Congress with nothing to hide demanded the evidence be released to the public. Of course, it was to be expected that release of facts would be denounced by the Democrats, but Republicans, such as Representative Michael Conaway from Texas himself, a member of the committee, joined in the effort to protect the Democrats and the corrupt FBI and the DOJ from exposure. Hiding behind national security concerns, Conaway opposes revealing the classified information as that would be real dangerous. As informed people know, 95% of the information that is classified is for purposes that have nothing to do with national security, but only protect the people of which are involved in the information. The House Intelligence Committee memo has no information in it related to any security except that of Comey, Brennan, Clapper, Hillary, Obama, Mueller, Rosenstein, Peter Strauss, Lisa Page, the DNC, and the prostitute media. The logical assumption is that every member of the Congress opposed to informing the American public of the Russiagate conspiracy to unseat the President of the United States is being blackmailed by the security agencies who planned, organized, and implemented the conspiracy against the President of the United States and the American democracy. American inoctuance is a greater enabler of the ability of the security agencies and their media whores to control the explanation. All hell is breaking loose in Washington after a four-page memo detailing extensive FISA court abuse was made available to the entire House of Representatives on Thursday, which is one of the reasons, by the way, the government got shut down to obfuscate. The contents of the memo are so explosive, says journalist Sarah Carter, that it could lead to the removal of senior officials in the FBI and the Department of Justice and the end of Robert Mueller's special counsel investigation. So, guys, this is ridiculous what's going on. As Russiagate, as I told you, is a conspiracy between the FBI, the DOJ, and the Hillary campaign to overturn Donald Trump's election. We have treason committed at the highest levels of the FBI and the Department of Justice and the Democratic National Committee. If you believed one word of Russiagate, you must now laugh or cry at your incredible gullibility. This scandal should also bring down the prostitute media who have done the dirty work for the conspiracy against Trump. That won't happen. Here's why. The prostitute media is owned and operated by the Rothschild banking cartel, This is part of the dipolar field they put up against all of us as far as to control the narrative on both sides, the negative and the positive against Trump, to move the United States any direction it wants to by increasing the field in one direction or the other. This is what they've done for the past 100 years. This is what they've done for the past 150 years using the Scofield Bible and with Darby and all of the stuff as far as Zionism is concerned. This is a group of people that is so perverse, so dedicated to evil, so serving their master Lucifer, that they will do anything they possibly can to bring in their one world government under the auspices of Lucifer through Jerusalem, through the greater Israel plan, through the Zionist media, to do one thing only, to control the planet and to bring hell on earth and to bring their demon god out of the pit to allow him to rule and reign the planet, implement the book of Revelation, and start the great tribulation. That's who these guys are. A few years ago, there's a guy on the History Channel, and basically it was basically, I think it was called Max Kaiser Decoded, I believe his name was. And he basically had a guy who was meeting with him in a church, and he said the same thing. He said their goal here, they consider themselves to be the Benign D Nephilim. Their goal is to bring about a new temple in Israel, in Jerusalem. This is what's said on the History Channel, and then turn right around and bring in their Antichrist into the Holy of Holies, pierce him, shed his blood, and crown him the emperor, the prince of this world, and to rule and reign. That's their goal, according to the History Channel show. That's what they've been trying to do for years and years. They trace their lineage all the way back to Nimrod, all the way back to Cain, all the way back to Lucifer in the Garden of Eden. That's who these clowns are. That's who run the media. That's who basically are involved with the missile launches that went against Japan and Hawaii last week. And now we have patrol ships all over the Atlantic now, missile hunters, and I'm sorry, submarine hunters, submarine planes, looking for offshore submarines that could sneak up on our shore and launch missiles. And we would not have this type of alert from the military if what happened last week was not real. Guys, this is a major, major problem. We all need to stay in prayer about this, and we need to realize that through prayer, all things can be changed. But guys, remember, I talked about this in detail. I gave you the whole background on this, how Satan is the god of this world. He is the one who basically is calling the shots at the highest levels of the government of the United States. Because remember, our congressional leaders have given this right from our ruling, from our legislation, from making the laws over to the industrial military complex, the military in itself. Then the CIA takes it. Then these Sabbatean Kabbalists, these Luciferians, take it over from there, and then they try to basically tie us into a D-Wave computer and tie us directly into Lucifer. That's how this thing breaks down. So if you don't understand Genesis chapter 6, and guys, this is the only show on the internet that ever talks about this stuff on an ongoing basis and explains to you what's really happening. Trump was the accidental president. Hillary Clinton had a grease track to get into this thing. We prayed for her exposure on this show. She was exposed. She basically, with the Podesta emails, there's no way they could put her into the office. They wouldn't allow the diabolical election machines to be hacked. Because here's what they do with the NSA, with the FBI, with the CIA. They'll call up Joe Smo and they'll say, "Hey, Joe, we've got a picture of you 5 years ago with a little girl doing some crack cocaine or running some lines of heroin when she was underage. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. We're never going to tell anybody about that, Joe. Don't worry about that. That's something that's between you and us. Don't worry about it. No problem at our end." And all of a sudden, Joe knows he's been had. That's what the NSA is used for. And that Joe knows if he runs his mouth or does not do what they want him to do, suddenly those pictures are going to surface. He's going to either go to jail, be ruined for the rest of his life, whatever. Look at that Barney. Look at Frank. Look at the Franken, the guy who basically got caught fondling the girl while she was asleep, resigning from his Senate seat. As soon as they want you out, as soon as you don't do what they want you to do, or as soon as they decide that they need something else to obfuscate the mainstream news because they're trying to cover something up, they'll bring one of these little tidbits out of the doggone closet and they'll expose somebody with it. Happens all the time. Don't allow yourself to be caught up in this. This is what these guys do. This is what they specialize in doing. Austin, what do you think?
Yes, absolutely. And the thing that we're seeing right now is with this leaked FISA memo, FISA amendment, there's some weird stuff going on. Today, I just got in earlier that the Trump administration has made a press release from the U.S. Department of Treasury today stating they are now imposing more sanctions on North Korea. They said it involves 9 entities, 16 individuals, and 6 vessels that have now been sanctioned in an attempt to deter Kim Jong-un's missile and chemical program. They went on to say, as a result of today's actions, any property or interest in property of the designated persons in possession or control of U.S. persons or within the United States or out must be blocked, and U.S. persons are prohibited from dealing with any of the designated parties. According to the Secretary of Treasury, Stephen T. Mnuchin, North Korea's operating primarily in China and Russia. So now we're sanctioning individuals that are in China and in Russia because they're supposedly operating for North Korea. They said among the 16 individuals accused of aiding Kim Jong-un's government are operating primarily in China and Russia. Pursuant to the UN Security Council, the U.S. government is targeting illicit actors in China and Russia and elsewhere who are working on behalf of the North Korean financial system. Now, what's really odd about this is we've been hearing about this for years now, especially before the election in 2016, about the war drums being beaten incessantly about going to war with Russia. I talked to you guys earlier about Sweden issuing 4.5 million pamphlets out. They're going to, I think, next month because of what's going on and how violent it's getting over there. Well, now we have a country that's not even really seeing any significant mass immigration, Estonia, that is now stating they're issuing how to prepare for war leaflets to their 1.3 million citizens. Estonia, if you don't know, which is basically below Finland, it borders Russia. It's about 160 kilometers from St. Petersburg, Russia. I mean, it's right up there. It went on to say this article was from Zero Hedge. As the world marches closer to war, countries in Europe are rushing to educate and prepare their civilian population for military conflict with Russia. Last week, for the first time since World War II, Sweden's government announced that it would soon distribute some 4.7 million civil defense brochures to its citizens. In the latest installment, Estonia Now, public broadcaster ERR reports that the government in Estonia is preparing to send 1.3 million civil defense brochures to its citizens with instructions on what to do in the event of a significant war. Estonia, which is a former Soviet republic that borders Russia, is now a member of NATO, meaning the United States and Europe are obligated by treaties to defend it under any circumstances. The largest Baltic states, Lithuania, at the end of 2016, issued a 75-page How to Survive Another Russian Occupation, and also, too, earlier this month, the U.S. Air Force deployed a squadron of F-16s to Estonia, 12 F-16s and nearly 300 airmen from the 180th Fighter Wing, Ohio Air National Guard, deployed January 14, 2018 to Estonia. Last week, Estonia public broadcaster ERR reported that B-52 bombers of the U.S. Air Force took part in an exercise in Estonian airspace, cooperation and practice with heavy bombers as an opportunity to practice massive airstrikes against ground targets. Guys, war preparations in Europe appear to be in the final stages. This is not stopping. Every time we see something like similar to the FISA documents that got released last week, all this stuff starts again. North Korea sanctions start up again. Pamphlets about Russia invading Estonia. The European governments are now conditioning their civilian population with manuals on what to expect in wartime environment. This has not happened since the 40s, actually late 30s and the 40s. Throughout history, this type of preconditioning usually occurs right before a major military operation. Across Europe, military assets are positioned across the land, pointing at Russia. They've been doing this for years now. Now we're sending F-16s to Estonia to practice war games with B-52 bombers. In my opinion, this is exactly what they're spooling up right now. If it gets out of hand in the United States with what's going on with the FBI, with the DOJ, with all this stuff that's continuing to get linked, the backup plan, if it even has to come early, they don't care. But the failsafe is to go to a World War III with Russia and China and North Korea and Iran and whoever else they want to add into the mix. But the fact that we're continuing to add sanctions upon sanctions upon sanctions to Russia, as well as you saw last year, and North Korea on a semi-regular basis now, we're intentionally provoking them. And guys, you have to understand it from this aspect. Look at it from a neutral standpoint. Whether or not you agree with Russia, whether or not you agree with North Korea, I could care less. I don't agree with a lot of stuff that happens in either country. However, you can only take somebody so far to their breaking point when they are going to produce an offensive strike. It's like you'd go to somebody and you take their home and you steal their car. They say, listen, you can have this stuff. I don't want any conflict at all. Just leave me alone. I don't want it. Taking your car, we're taking your job now, we're taking your food, we're taking every aspect of what you can do to actually stay alive and live. You are going to take that person to a point that they probably have never been before, and they are going to do things that they have never even contemplated before under the aspect of surviving and staying alive. When you continue to put wartime sanctions that are incredibly aggressive on countries that are completely not making any provocative moves like Russia has done. The fact that we did that to Russia last year is still egregious to me. North Korea has their own set of things that they're involved in that I don't agree with. However, we are doing non-stop sanctions. We are taking this big old pit bull as Russia, and we keep slapping it in the face, punching it in the head, slapping it in the face, saying, oh, if it even growls at me, I'm going to shoot it. I'm going to shoot this dog if he growls at me, but I'm going to keep popping him in the face, and he better not do anything to me. Bam, bam, bam. Let's keep hitting him in the face. Oh, he better not growl or I'm going to shoot him. He better not growl or I'm going to shoot him. That's what we're doing to Russia over and over and over again until we provoke something and we can completely blame it on them through the propaganda media that the Rothschild and the globalists own on a regular basis. But we're seeing this, guys, go closer and closer to closer every time we see these memos, these document leaks, all this stuff for the Department of Justice. They do not want this stuff coming in the spotlight, Dad, and they're going to do everything they can to suppress it.
Excellent summary, Austin. Okay, let me take you back down memory lane real quick. This is important. Back in 1916, this is during World War One. Germany had basically utterly defeated England and France. No shots were being fired in England, in Germany. The World War I was pretty much done. And what ended up happening is Germany offered a peace settlement to England. This is 1916. And said, by the way, you guys, you know, we know you don't want to, you know, continue the war. We just want to call an armistice. Let's go. Let everything go back to the way it was before we started this nonsense. The international bankers in Germany were diametrically opposed to the United States getting into the war. The international banking community in Germany and the international newspaper group here in the United States were all owned by the same international banking community. So the German bankers would not fund the war effort against Germany in either country. There were huge anti-war marches in the United States trying to keep the blithering idiot Woodrow Wilson, who already brought us the Federal Reserve by this time, out of World War One because it was not our war. Plus a huge percentage of the population in America, in fact the number one ethnic group in America at that time was German, and they didn't want a war with Germany, with their fellow fathers and brothers and uncles and cousins. In fact, a lot of the women and a lot of the men in the United States had actually gone back to Germany to fight for the fatherland, for Germany. And you don't realize this is what happened in 1916. Well, then in 1916, the international banking community, which had the money in Germany, who was also funding the anti-war effort in the United States, they did not want to go to war, they were offered a very interesting proposition by the Rothschild banking cartel out of England, who was losing the war, and they said, quote, or similar to this quote, I wasn't there, that if you get America into the war, if you can provide that, we will give you Palestine for a homeland for the Jewish people. This is 1916. And immediately the bankers who did not want the war started funding the war effort against Germany, even in Germany. And the people in Germany who were the international banking cartels there were primarily Jewish in ethnic origin. Now what ended up happening is they were extremely loyal Germans. They'd been treated extremely good in Germany because a lot of them had left the Soviet Union and come into Germany. There were about 400,000 Jews in Germany at that time. And what happened is the entire Jewish community wanted to take Palestine to get Israel back as a homeland. So they started going ahead and promoting in the media in the United States what a horrible group of people the Germans were and all this other kind of stuff, and got Woodrow Wilson, who was the big capitulator, to come into World War One. Now remember, this is all before Adolf Hitler. So this isn't, there isn't anything with Hitler going on here. This is what happened. So then what happened is, about 2 years later in 1918, I believe it was, we had the Balfour Declaration, which they actually put the stuff in writing, in which they said if they got in, this was exactly what was going to happen. And that's what happened. Well, Germany, at the end of the war, at the end of World War One, they were starving to death. That's one of the reasons they wanted the armistice with World War One, because the people couldn't get food because they had been blockaded. And what ended up happening is, Hitler, who was basically a corporal of the military, he knew what had happened to the Versailles Treaty, and he knew that this was all about the Balfour Declaration, et cetera, et cetera. And he also knew that the international Jewish community in Germany had turned against Hitler, and not turned against Hitler, had turned against Germany. Hitler wasn't even around by then, by the way. Had turned against Germany and basically brought the United States into the war. This is one of the seeds that were planted that caused so much hatred towards the Jewish people in Germany. So guys, that's what happened in 1916. This is from my mother, and this is from my grandfather. My grandfather, who was born, I think, in 1886 over there, he told me what happened. Well, when this all happened, and then the same banking community in Germany hyperinflated the currency, hyperinflated the stock market with the Weimar Republic, and basically took all of the assets away from the German people, that was enough. And that's when Hitler wrote Mein Kampf and all the other things started happening. That's what planted the seeds for World War II. In fact, that's why our own Congress wouldn't ratify the Versailles Treaty, because they said, all you're going to do is start World War II over this because of these war reparations that Germany's being forced to pay on a war that did not even start. So this is what happened with World War One. This is why there was so much animosity towards the Jewish people in Germany after that happened. So in case you didn't know that little background tidbit, this is from my grandfather, from my mom, who told me this information. Now, what's also interesting about all of this, much of this has also been documented in books, et cetera, that were written back at that time back in history. In fact, Myron Fagan talks a lot about that in his reports and also in his audio recordings. And Myron Fagan was a Jewish fellow who basically realized what had happened with the Jewish banking community in Germany. And basically, he was also a Hollywood playwright. So you guys can listen to, he wrote Red Tide Over America. He wrote a whole bunch of other books that you guys really need to read. And it was just a really interesting stuff that he has on the line. In fact, I don't think he wrote Red Tide. That was the guy who wrote Pawns in the Game, William Guy Carr. But what's interesting about all of this stuff, a lot of stuff happened that's been basically hidden from you as far as in history. Then when Hitler wrote Mein Kampf, when he got thrown in jail, he also wrote another book that he never finished and never was published, and it's called Hitler's Unfinished Book. And if you read that book, it goes into detail about a thing in German that's called Lebensraum. Now, Lebensraum is this. It means room enough to live. Now, the reason he said that is this. At that time in 1916, two-thirds of Germany's food imports were coming from other countries. And that's what happened. When they started getting naval blockades in the canals and everywhere else that their submarines couldn't basically sink, what ended up happening is they started starving. The German people had millions of people starving to death, and that's why the Kaiser Wilhelm wanted just to declare a truce with England and stop everything. Now, I said all of that to say this. Listen to me, what I'm saying to you right now. That entire little five-minute diatribe was to say this, because Hitler wanted more room because he couldn't feed his people. Dying North Koreans, a sign of U.S. diplomatic strategy works, Tillerson says. This Rex Tillerson, this blithering idiot. Signs of starvation and death in North Korea indicate the U.S. diplomatic strategy works fine, says the Secretary of State. The object now is to not let Pyongyang evoke sympathy around the world for its sanctions-induced woes. The unexpected revealing description of what Rex Tillerson apparently considers successful diplomacy came from his own mouth on Wednesday as he was speaking at Stanford University with former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Quote, here we go, get ready guys. The Japanese have had over 100 North Korean fishing boats that have drifted into Japanese waters. Two-thirds of these people on these boats have died from starvation. Tillerson said, citing a Japanese delegation attendance conference in Vancouver earlier this week. He was referring to the regular phenomenon of so-called ghost ships from North Korea, which have become stranded on Japanese coasts. Last year, 104 of these ships were found. Many, many, many North Koreans were dead. The fishermen are being sent in the wintertime to fish because they are starving to death in North Korea because of the food shortages, the same thing that happened in World War One. And they are being sent out to fish with inadequate fuel to get back because they don't have the money to get the ship filled with fuel. So we're getting a lot of evidence that these sanctions are really starting to hurt. He's bragging about this now. These are his quotes. Tillerson claims that the leadership in Korea will be willing to negotiate in the face of starvation and fuel shortages. The same
wow.
leadership that, according to some U.S. officials, does not value the lives of ordinary Koreans and has had a record of enjoying lavish lifestyles as the country lost an estimated 100,000 to famine in the mid-1990s. Now, this goes right back to what Austin just said. North Korea has nuclear weapons. Whether you believe that or not, it doesn't make any difference. They probably do. Or they have the ability to deliver some type of payload or some type of weapon via their antiquated submarine fleet they have around the world. Here's the problem that we have. This is exactly what Austin said earlier. We're taking a pit bull that's starving to death, and we're beating the holy living crap out of it, and we're wondering why it's not fighting back and attacking us back. This is the same thing that happened to Germany in 1916 when their citizens were starving to death. This is the same thing that happened to Germany after World War II. And when you take a person or a pit bull or any type of other animal or whatever you want to call it, and you're mean to it and you're poking it with a stick, sooner or later it does something back to you. Now, whether or not North Korea attacks us or not at this point is irrelevant. It doesn't make any difference. The Sabotage Kalapalas, who are in charge of multiple submarines with nuclear payload devices, have the ability at this point, they showed last week, as far as my opinion is concerned, they can launch these strikes against Japan and against the United States. And they will blame it on North Korea, because it doesn't make a difference. If North Korea has 50 submarines, I think that's what it has in its fleet, and they're all over the planet right now, and another submarine that's not a North Korean submarine does this, our twisted out media will say, oh, by the way, North Korea attacked Baltimore. North Korea attacked Miami. North Korea attacked Houston. North Korea attacked Seattle. And they'll blame it on North Korea. North Korea attacked Hawaii. This is what they're trying to do. They're doing everything they can. So when Austin tells you that they're telling you in Estonia, they're telling you in Sweden, they're telling you all over the European Union that World War III is imminent. Guys, when these guys get pushed in the corner, these Sabotage Kalapalas, and because of this FISA memo, and these guys are involved with all of this, guys, these are the guys who run the United States government through the Exchange Stability Fund that the socialist communist Roosevelt put in place in 1934. This is what they've done. They have raped and pillaged our country since 1929 when they contracted the M1 money supply. They have raped and pillaged the entire planet. And as soon as somebody comes out with a floodlight to show you who's doing all this, like in the FISA memo, everybody flips out. So guys, be really, really frosty. Continue to pray every single day that any of these attempts to create a false flag, which these guys, we know they do it. We saw it in Las Vegas. We saw it in Sandy Hook. We saw it at the Pulse nightclub. We see all of these false flags happening all the time. This is what their mantra is. This is their modus operandi. This is what they do, is to create false flags, to create conflict. This is who these guys are, and this is what they're trying to do right now with this submarine fleet of unknown origin. They run all over the planet, and they can blame anything on anybody. In other words, if there's a nuclear strike in Baltimore, and somebody's 10 miles off on a nuclear sub, and they lob something over, there's no way that air defense can come in on time to stop that. It can't be done. Because even if it gets up 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet, 3,000 feet, 5,000 feet, before it starts going back down, and they can detonate it, they're going to have an EMP. They're going to create EMP over that part of the country. And they know this, and that's why we have all of these submarine spotter planes out there right now, and all of these Air Force people. In fact, they're bringing in civilian contractors to do this now, because they realize this threat is imminent. But guys, keep the bread and circuses going. Keep the doggone whores and the prostitutes saying they had sex with the president. Keep everything going so nobody pays any attention to what the real ball is and who the real thing is. Make sure the Congress and those guys want to go ahead and stall the budget meetings out so we don't have a budget, which now we've already had that reconciled. Guys, this is a major, major mess. Donald Trump has found himself neck deep in a swamp full of snakes and alligators and crocodiles and pythons and pit vipers and everything else. And all he's trying to do is make changes where he can while he's trying to balance the juggling ball. Remember, guys, it's like we used to watch the Ed Sullivan Show. Remember way back in the 60s and 70s? You guys don't remember this awesome, but he said these guys had come out with a stick and a plate. And they'd have like six sticks going on six different plates, twirling them in the air. That's what it's like being president of the United States, because everything has a plate with a stick on it that everybody's trying to balance. And so we have all of this stuff going, and as soon as somebody lets a stick fall, we got a major cascade that develops, and that can create a worldwide escalation of all of this stuff that's going on. These guys killed 1 million people in Iraq. They probably killed 500,000 in Syria, probably another 500,000 or 1 million in Libya and Egypt and everywhere else. They don't care if they wipe out the population of the planet. That's their stated goal. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to drop us down to 500 million people, because that's a manageable amount for these guys to keep us under control. The internet, which is the new Gutenberg press, has basically exposed these guys. And now we can tell you what happened in 1916. We can tell you what happened in 1918. We can tell you what happened in 1921. And guys, this is all pre-Hitler, guys. This is all pre-Hitler. They did it already in Germany. So you guys have to understand who these guys are, what they want to do, who they want to have in the charge. They want their serpent god resurrected from the pit, and they don't care if they've got to kill or destroy the entire planet to get it done. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, you're pretty much spot on with it, man. That's exactly what we've been talking about with it. Also, too, in other news, to everybody that lives up, all of our listeners in Washington State, I know we ship a lot of orders up there as well. This is something you guys need to make sure you're aware of if you have not seen it. HB1387, you guys need to contact your representatives in the state of Washington. They're having a committee meeting, the State House Judiciary Committee, on January 25th. This is about to completely follow the California firearm restrictions in Washington State. Now, some of the top highlights that I pulled this out, I had somebody email this to me, so I wanted to make sure any of our friends, any of our listeners, any of our Health Masters family in Washington State, you understand what's going on. HB1387 will require licensing to possess anything that they call an assault weapon in this bill. The definition of assault weapon contained in the bill is ridiculous, as California's is, as always. It also, too, will require a license to possess any so-called high-capacity magazine over 10 rounds, the same thing they've done in California, except in California they've completely banned them, so now they're going to require a license just to own one, which, of course, they can take away that license and they'll know where you're at any point. They're also going to basically, it nails you with a Class C felony if you don't keep your firearms locked up according to their specifications. It also requires that you complete firearm safety training events every 3 years, or else you lose your license to possess these assault weapons, so to speak. The license for the assault weapon application will contain your name, your address, your phone number, your place and date of birth, your race, your gender, your physical description, and driver's license or state-issued ID card number and photograph. The license application must also include the make, model, serial number of each assault weapon and the make, caliber, and capacity of every single magazine. This is something right here that everybody needs to be aware of in the state of Washington, HB1387. Wanted to make sure I keep you guys apprised on that, especially with gun stuff, because I've told you this before, and I've said it hundreds of times, the Second Amendment is the teeth to our Constitution. If we ever allow ourselves to be disarmed by the U.S. government or by any entity, including the U.N., it will be the complete and total demise of the United States, and usually genocide oversees that after the firearms are confiscated, as you've seen in almost every single tyrannical government. So I want to make sure everybody's aware of that, that in Washington, they're going after the real firearms again. They understand that from a firefight standpoint, from a tactical advantage standpoint, you cannot significantly provide any cover fire with 10-round magazines or less. It's not possible. You may be able to run a bolt-action long-range sniper. You may be able to get a couple blue helmet UN troops if they come over here. You may be able to do a few defensive tactics. But eventually, at a certain point in time, when you are starting to be overrun and you have no ability to access high-capacity, large-caliber rifle rounds in a excessive fashion, I should say, with rapid fire deployment, you are not going to be able to fight them with any significant amount of force, and they know that. That's why they have pushed so hard at these states to completely and totally violate the constitutional law and the Second Amendment and restrict law-abiding citizens from owning weapons that they, under the Second Amendment, have the total right to own, Dad. So, yes, if you're in Washington, be aware of that. Contact your state representatives and make sure this is not something that's going to go anywhere.
A couple of years ago, a movie came out, and you'll have to help me with the name of it also because I don't remember it anymore. But these guys were doing an extraction on a group of military personnel, guys, and they basically showed up in basically rubber rafts, you know, the military rubber rafts, and they had miniguns mounted on top of the rubber rafts. And these guys were basically trying to go against the miniguns, these bad guys, you know, with like, you know, low capacity round magazines, etc. Now, a minigun will fire, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 rounds a minute. And they were running 2-3 mini rounds. And so they just opened up the miniguns and nobody could even stick their head up. I mean, nobody could, and they were able to extract the SEAL team that was in there. Now, the craziest part about all of this is exactly what Austin's talking about. When you are in a firefight and you got a 10-round magazine and you're, let's say, for instance, North Korea invaded us. Let's just do that. And North Korea shows up with doggone machine guns and miniguns and cannons and everything else, and you're dealing around, you got a single shot 22. What are you going to do with that? You better just surrender and hope they don't kill you. I mean, there's nothing you can do with it. It's impossible to try to defend yourself against something that has high capacity magazines in it. That's the thing that bothers me more with these communists than anything else, is the fact that they're so blank stupid that they think they can defend the country and do what needs to be done in the event of some type of war with limited armament. We talked to a guy just the other day, he's a friend of mine out of Switzerland. He came by to visit us, and he still carries, what kind of gun did he say he has over in Switzerland, Austin? You ask him.
Oh, yes. And the movie you were talking about was Act of Valor. That's a very good movie. Has some propaganda stuff in it to really try to, you know, it is just nonsense like they always like to put in movies. However, the one scene that they did with the hot extraction with the miniguns was an incredible scene. Actually, a couple of the clips in that scene, they used live fire miniguns basically to give the most realistic scene possible. And most of the guys that they were fighting against had basically AK-47s with 30-round magazines. And it showed you what overwhelming firepower can do at preventing anybody from being able to fight with any type of tactical advantage. And yes, what you were talking about, Dad, was the H&K is the gun, if I'm not mistaken, what they carry over there in Switzerland. I know also 2.6 Sauer, I think they use those too, but primarily I think the main ones they use are the H&K, and they still use the 5.56 NATO.
And Switzerland was just voted number one country in the world to live in. The United States has dropped to number 8 now. And Nick, the guy, our friend from Switzerland, said that every year they're required by Swiss law to go train at a full, basically, you know, a full-trained military deal in which they have to use full, and these are machine guns they have. These aren't semi-automatics. These are machine guns. Every household in Switzerland has a machine gun and magazines, and they said you can go down anytime you want to the armory, and they'll give you as many rounds of ammunition as you want for your machine gun at any time. They don't care. You can keep it in your house. Guys, this is why Switzerland is so safe. This is why Switzerland never gets invaded. That and the fact that the doggone Bank of International Settlements is there, and that's the central bank of central banks, which control all of our stuff through the Exchange Stability Fund and through the CIA. By the way, a little tidbit for you there. And all of this stuff is going on all of the time. I mean, the CIA is basically the how can I say this? It's the BIT word. The CIA is the BIT word of the doggone BIA, the Bank of International Settlements out of Basel, Switzerland. And the CIA runs everything through the Exchange Stability Fund with all of the drug money they run into the doggone Treasury. And so what ends up happening is you get all of these people out there that are basically being controlled through the International Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland, in Davos, and there's no way they're attacking Switzerland because that's their home turf. That's where all these guys hang out. That's where all of this stuff's being done from and orchestrated from, because that's why Switzerland is always neutral, because they had to find a country that was a banking country that would allow them to come in, do what they're going to do, and allow them to remain neutral through all of these different wars. By the way, speaking of low-life scumbuckets, CEO Blankfein of Goldman Sachs now is saying he's a hardcore, staunch Democrat who supported Hillary Clinton. And remember, all of the people that Donald Trump from Goldman has put into his administration and into his cabinet and all the CFR members, now this guy from Goldman, who said Blankfein, who says he's doing the work of God. Here's the thing, guys. That's not Yahweh he's talking about when he talks about his God. This guy's one of these hardcore Sabbatean Kabbalists. He says, but Blankfein says he really is liking what Trump has done for the economy. Guys, if this doesn't set off every single siren in your head that the head guy from Goldman Sachs likes Donald Trump and what Donald Trump has done, I don't know how to get the attention of the folks that are listening who don't realize that's not a good thing. That is not a good thing. The CEO of Goldman Sachs is a complete and total lowlife. They completely remember, Goldman Sachs is one of the banks and one of the groups that own the Federal Reserve System. This is who these guys are. And he likes Donald Trump? No, man. Something wrong here, Austin. I smell a doggone a rotten egg in a bunch. Something's wrong here. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. It's definitely some very weird stuff going on with that. These guys, I mean, what we're seeing right now that everybody's attributing to Trump, it was granted, like I said this numerous times, and I stay on record saying this, Trump has done some awesome things, and by no doubt at all, he is thousands of times better than Hillary Clinton would have been in office. We already know her absolute hatred towards Americans, period. She absolutely hates Americans. Everybody, every American, she hates them. So what he's done has been great on some aspects, but other aspects, and a lot of this praise that he's receiving where everybody is saying, oh, look what he's done with the economy. Look what he's done with this. Guys, I hate to bust your bubble, but Donald Trump has done nothing significant to the economy. The only reason the stock market's over 26,000 is because the Fed and their loose money supply and quantitative easing. The only reason the housing market is coming back up is because they're doing the exact same thing they did in 2005, 2000. I see the housing market firsthand. I'm involved in it heavily with a lot of people that I know, and I see exact same thing it was doing in 2006. People that don't need houses and do not deserve loans for specific amounts are getting them. Housing prices are going through the roof is faster than you can literally count the money before you close the house. The house is going up in value. The houses, assets like this don't grow in value this fast in a real, true economy that's not being manipulated. It doesn't happen. Same thing I told you guys about that with Bitcoin last month. Bitcoin's literally going up $1,000 to $2,000 a day on some weeks, to the point they said the market cap was higher than all of Walmart. I laughed hysterically, and I told you guys on the show, this is a complete and total joke. Now it's already dropped back down to $11,000. It was $9,500. Now it's floating around there. They're probably going to try to push it back up again in the mid-teens to get more people sucked into it. And then, boom, they're going to yoke out all the top boys. They're going to yoke out all their money. They're going to drop it back down to about $1,000 to $3,000 a coin like it was before. And they're going to completely and totally steal so many people's reserves, their 401ks, their savings, all the money they put in there, exactly what they've done. This is what's going on with the economy right now. It's all great because they want it to be great. They want everybody to put as much money as they can in the market. They want many people to put their assets in to stay wrapped up in it. This is why I've said before, huge proponent, gold, silver, platinum, ammo, guns, hard assets that don't drop in value. That's what you have to start looking at. Also, too, in other news, I wanted to touch base on this today as well. As you guys know, GMO rice has never been approved for growth or sale in the United States. Period. Now, the FDA has gone in and partnered basically and talked to China and is now allowing them, has approved a product basically based on data turned in by Chinese researchers that the FDA didn't even conduct their own experiments at all. Now, although cultivation of GM rice is not officially legal, the FDA put a stamp of approval to get the ball rolling to garner approval to import GMO rice out of China. Now, GMO rice in China doesn't even have the approval of the citizens. The citizens in China don't even like GMO rice. They've already been very vocal about it. However, now the FDA has stamped it, saying that they're basically approving for select amounts of GMO rice to be imported into the United States, and they will not require them to be labeled. The genetically modified rice was developed by a group of Chinese scientists, and that has acquired the U.S. FDA approval. The first such Chinese product allowed to enter the U.S. market is a GMO food supply. However, neither China nor the U.S. has approved mass cultivation of this rice. However, they are still allowing it to be imported. The Huihui No. 1 rice is the name of it, developed by the Hong's Agricultural University is genetically engineered to resist a wide range of insects. While this rice is still in its preliminary stages, preparations for the international market are already being set in motion to essentially, and I'm adding this, to bring this absolute filth food in the United States. As we already don't have enough of it, they're bringing in the GMO rice now in the United States. And you guys know, China is not the poster child for clean food. They've already gotten caught literally dozens of times sending organic food to the United States when they later find out it's not even organic, it's not even natural, it's not even clean. It's been grown basically in the side of a landfill, pulled out of the ground, looks halfway green, they throw it in a box, slap an organic sticker on it, and ship it to all the idiot Americans that believe stuff out of China is perfect and safe to eat on a regular basis, even though it's one of the most polluted countries in the world. This is what we have going on right now, a complete and total direct strategy to bring us the worst quality, most disgusting, filthiest, health-breaking down food we can possibly put in our bodies all over our country, and now we're importing it from other countries. Guys, there's a reason why Russia said we are going to be GMO-free by 2020. We will not import any food in our country that is GMO. We will not grow any GMO food. We will not allow GMO food in our country. There's a reason why they said that. It wasn't because they're trying to be stubborn. It wasn't because they're trying to go to war. It's because they know this stuff has very significant health effects on the body, and they do not want anybody in Russia eating it, Dad.
You're absolutely right, Austin. In fact, you know, the thing about GMO foods is that's one of the eugenics protocols they're using globally to reduce the population.
Yep.
Because after GMO corn's fed to like mice for like three generations of mice, the mice could no longer reproduce. They got hair growing in their mouth. They got testicles growing on their head. I mean, they're completely sterile. I mean, this is what's going on. This is what they're doing to human beings. I mean, they're trying to get multiple generations of people to be eating this stuff to sterilize us. Same thing with the Gardasil shot. It's all these different things. They're using it. It's all about the Jason Committee bringing in everything they possibly can to sterilize as many people as they can, because that was the big problem they had. They developed back in the 50s. They said they've got to control the population explosion. By the way, another story. This has changed, completely changed topics. Over in England, there's a guy named Brandon. His first name was Dan Brandon. He was found dead, basically suffocated by his 8-foot python, it was a pet African rock python. And it was interesting because this snake was very, very strong. He was kind of scared of this snake they call Tiny, because Dan had stopped putting the snake around his neck because he was so strong and unpredictable and afraid he was going to kill him. Now, guys, ended up, he's like a 31-year-old guy with a failure to launch with a bunch of snakes in his bedroom, and he ends up basically getting himself suffocated by this python, as far as coroner rules. And the thing that's all crazy about all of this stuff is this. Guys, you know, the last time we on the planet Earth tried to negotiate with a snake, it was in a garden, and it worked out badly for the entire planet. When you have a python or a big viper like this, or a big boa constrictor or anything like this, they don't see you as anything besides food. They don't see you as a pet. Reptiles don't make good pets. I hate to tell you that. And I have a person I knew in Lakeland, a guy very, very, very dull, and he ended up basically getting a 10-foot python as a job payment because the guy didn't want this snake anymore. He gets it in the house. He has it in his one room. It disappears in his house. He cannot find it. He's got a big old rambling old house. Can't find where the snake went. And then his wife is pregnant. She has a baby that's like 6-7 pounds. And now the baby's in his crib. And this guy comes over one day and tells me about a snake. And I said, well, don't you have a new baby in your house? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, when's the last time you saw the snake? Well, we don't know where the snake is. He's loose in the house somewhere. I said, you have a 6-8 pound baby in your house with a 10-foot long python that, you know, sees that baby as a small rabbit or as a possum or whatever, and can basically swallow that baby whole. Oh, he would never do that. He's my pet. He's my pet snake. He likes the baby and he likes us. Now, guys, I kid you not. This guy is that stupid, okay? And finally, I looked at him and I said, I cannot believe you're this stupid. This snake doesn't see anything as a friend. It sees everything as food. I said, it detects the heat signature of this baby. It doesn't know it's your baby. It just thinks it's something that you laid out for it to eat. It doesn't even think that. It just sees it as something to eat. And finally he goes, oh, you're wrong. Snakes would never do that. They would never eat my baby. And I'm like, okay, whatever, dude. If you're that stupid, why don't you go ask the vet about this snake? Calls up his vet. The vet starts screaming at him and yelling at him. Says, what are you, an idiot? That snake will eat your baby. Next thing you know, they found the snake and they got it out of the house. He gave it away or sold it or whatever. Chances are he turned it loose in one of our local lakes. And yes, we have a bunch of those stinking things down in the doggone Everglades that are 10, 15, 20 feet long. They actually have python hunts down there now to try to kill these things, and they can't even catch them in the Everglades. That's a problem. So guys, if you know people that have these large reptiles with small children in the house, you might want to warn them about that. And maybe, just maybe, you want to tell them not to wrap thing around their neck. What do you think, Austin?
Well, yeah, it's funny. I was just watching, I was flipping through the other day. I don't watch TV very often. I flipped it on trying to see the weather, which I'm always usually trying to do when I'm at a house. And they had the local news on, and it was over in Tampa. And basically somebody, it was right below that. It was, I forgot where it was. Siesta Key. And a guy called in Animal Watch, Animal Wildlife Control, because he goes out in his backyard, and there's a 14-foot anaconda in his pool. I kid you not. 14 feet. So they drag it out. I guess Wildlife Control basically got a hold of it. They killed it and got rid of it. And they were talking about it. They're like, we don't know how these things get out. They're illegal to release in the wild, which they are. It doesn't matter. People push these things out. You guys have to remember, anacondas get up to about 30 feet long. That's, I mean, some things even longer than that. 30 feet long. I'm going to repeat that. 30. The average full-size pickup truck is about 19 to 20 feet. Full-size, four-door, you know, F-250, whatever. It's 20 feet long. We're talking these things are 10 feet longer than that, and the average weight when they get up to that size is between 600 to 700 pounds for a snake. These will eat large gators. They are so aggressive. The only thing one of these snakes needs in the wild is a nice 45 caliber bullet to the brain. That is the only thing I will give them at all. I do not even hesitate to shoot these things. They are an absolute nightmare down here in Florida because a lot of them came out of South America as pets that they were sold in Florida. When they get to be 10, 12, 15 feet long, they're not fun pets anymore. And the owners go, we don't know why we have a 15-foot anaconda in our house. We're kind of scared of it. We're just going to let it go down the road, put it out in the lake, and it'll be fine. It'll just die off. It doesn't die. It's an apex predator. It eats every single thing it finds. The only thing it can't eat are gators that are much larger than it. That's it. That's like the only thing that it can't eat. And even they've tried. They found them down in the Everglades before with gators literally ripped out of the side of the anaconda's stomach, because the gator was still alive when he tried to eat the whole gator whole, and the gator finally wiggled enough out and whipped his tail around and pushed out the side of it. These things are a nightmare. I'm sorry for the rabbit trail on that, but you brought that up, and I cannot stand these things. The only thing they need is a bullet in the brain or a 12-gauge. If you don't have a pistol on you, buckshot does just fine on these things as well. You don't even have to be accurate with them.
Doug Crane, a good friend of mine, he's dead down there. He rested in peace. He used to live two doors down from us. Wish he was still down there. Older guy, he lived in Miami. They used to go hunting in the Everglades all the time, and they'd go snake hunting or whatever else they could do in the Everglades. And I'll never forget one time he says they were out in the bush in the Everglades outside of Miami, and he says they actually were out in the middle of nowhere, and there was a big log across the road, and they had to get out to move the log. And as they walked towards the log, it slithered into the Everglades. It was covering both sides of the road. Couldn't see its head, couldn't see its tail, saw the tail as it crossed across them. And they ran back to get their shotguns to kill it, and by the time they got to the snake, it had already gone underwater. Guys, anacondas are illegal to bring into the state of Florida. They're like Austin says, they're an apex predator. You can't even import them. You can't even buy them. But they're brought in illegally because people think it's cool. It's not cool. Especially when you live in a swamp like we do and these things start getting loose, it's a nightmare trying to get these things back under control. I have killed, in my lifetime, hundreds of pit vipers in Florida. Hundreds. I mean, water moccasins, rattlesnakes, copperheads. This list just goes on and on and on. And my response to this, if it's a black snake or a corn snake, I leave it alone. I don't mess with it because it eats rats and mice. If it's anything with a triangular-shaped head or a coral snake, it dies. It just dies instantaneously. I don't even care about it. A few years ago, I told you guys a story. If you heard the show a few years ago, I'll mention it to you again. I was up at a park up in northern Florida, and there was a doggone rattlesnake laying on the sidewalk where all the kids were walking by. It was about 3 feet long, 4 feet long, and I took a stick to kill it. The guy ran out of the doggone store and started screaming at me and told me if I killed that rattlesnake, that diamondback rattlesnake, if I killed that snake, I would be arrested and put in jail because I was in a state park. And I looked at him, I said, I've got little children running by this thing without shoes on, wearing shorts. I said, this isn't okay. They're going to think this is something to play with. They won't know this is a pit viper. He goes, I don't care. You killed that snake. You're going to jail. And my response was, whatever, dude, do what you need to. So he comes over with a stick, gingerly picks it up. I thought he was going to kiss the doggone thing, and walks over into the bushes 10 feet off the sidewalk and lays it down under a bunch of leaves so nobody can see it. Says, here, you'll be safe here now. I mean, the guys are like brain dead. What the is wrong with these people? Because quite frankly, who in the world thinks that having a pit viper within 10 feet of a sidewalk with little children running around is okay? But that's the liberal man mentality, Austin. That's what's wrong with America today. Nobody's telling the truth. Nobody's calling it out for what it is. And by the way, genetically modified soy now has been linked to sterility and infant mortality in hamsters. This is right out of the Huffington Post. Guys, here's the thing. If you don't think this stuff is bad for you, it has devastating results on these folks, on these animals that eat it, these other things. These high, slow growth, high mortality rates, and it causes all of this genetic confusion because it's a xenoestrogen. It's so important that you keep everybody that you know off of soy protein. It is a deadly, deadly toxin to the human body. Guys, thank you for listening today. Sorry I got kind of fussy, but when I start talking about this stuff and what's going on and then rattling the doggone war sabers, it hacks me off. Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. We need your support. We thank you for your support. We just thank you for the prayers, for the fact that you get your multiple vitamins from us. And I promise you, you're not going to hear this kind of show anywhere else on alternative radio. People tell they're always writing me emails. We don't hear anything like you guys talk about ever anywhere. Thank you that you helped that make that possible. You guys are our family. We pray for you every day. We pray that God continues to bless you and protect you every single day. I thank you for your support. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your emails. And guys, I just thank you for just being here for us. God bless you. Austin, go ahead and close out right up the summary.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for all the emails you continue to send us. And be sure to check out the website. See if there's anything you like on there. We got hundreds of articles that you can read. We got lots of different supplements you can try, especially for the new listeners. And even if it's something like just starting off with our Ultimate Multiple, that's a great place to start. And if you need help with something, feel free to give us a call. We'll be happy to discuss with you over the phone, 1-800-726-1834. We'd love to talk to you and help you in the right direction on what supplements you want to start out with and help out with overall different lifestyle options. So we appreciate it, guys. Thank you for the support. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.